Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Ooh. Okay, seems nice and echoing. So thanks for coming out here, and I know 9 a.m. is can be challenging, especially if you're coming from the West Coast, because it feels a lot earlier. Who here has bought a novelty gift that has failed? Who's planning on buying one for their kids when they leave, you know, today or tomorrow? So. I definitely have that. You could be the running joke in the family for years. You can scar your two-year-old so that she's afraid of the color purple. I've done all of these. But sometimes they actually work, and they work well. So when I was 5 or 6, my parents got, for the kids' bathroom, one of these shower curtain, novelty shower curtains with a map of the world. And somehow that stuck with me. I went all in. I went geography competitions and things like that. And I really realized, years and years later, when I was in college, I actually decided to hack myself and made that into, hey, I can appreciate art, because all it really is just like another map. And the thing with maps is you can stare at them forever, and there's more detail, there's more data, and you'll never run out. And that is really what we have here. So in Office 365, there is a huge slew of services. And there we go. And really what we have here is along with the different online services, you introduce a whole lot of risk, right? There's security risks you're used to on premises. You have compliance solutions where you could lose intellectual property, you could lose customer data, you have requirements about retention, around deletion, about who has access to things. And, it's a known problem. You know how to do this on premises. You probably have some solutions for it already. And then when you move to the cloud, what do you do when you don't control the actual hardware, you don't control the network, the applications? And then just to top it off, productivity requires collaboration within your company, outside your company, everywhere. And if you lock, you can lock it down, but then you're going to get shadow IT and people are going to go do what they need to do to get their work done. And so you've now increased your attack surface, and you have all these different people, vendors, external parties, malicious insiders. We've heard all the different examples from all those different hacks from Target, Sony, NSA. We've seen those everywhere. And we hear from customers over and over again, how are we going to be secure in the cloud? What are we going to do? How do we plug our existing solutions in to the cloud? So the answer to that is what we have in Office 365 is our auditing platform. So what we do is we unify and aggregate all the signals from the different Office 365 workloads, and we have this auditing platform that collects everything. In about an hour and a half, I'll be giving a session next door about the intelligence and insights that pull the signal from the noise within Office 365 Security and Compliance Center. But what we have here, and what we'll talk about today, is our Management Activity API. And that's an API that is a little bit different than APIs that you're used to. And what it does is it is meant to be a connector to a custom solution. So where you're used to an API that might query a database live, that's actually not what we're talking about here. We have other ways of doing that, hour and a half next door. But what this API is a way to pull data down once and only once for every event, and you don't have to worry about duplication, about backfill, about what your look-back window is. And that's what we've built over here. That's what we're going to talk about today. So what is it and how does it work? Right now, we've got SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business, Azure ID, which is how your directories and authentication work, Security Compliance Center, Exchange Online, Power BI, half a dozen Office 365 services already in there. The others are on their way. We'll talk about that later. And we collect all of that data, and it comes in to an Azure microservice that we have in the background. We actually have two different channels, and I will explain why again another time, because I want to leave a lot of time for why we're really here to look at the awesome stuff from Microsoft IT. But briefly, what that microservice does is it takes the data from all those services, and it puts it into what we call the shredder. What the shredder does is it converts logs from the individual services and separates them out per tenant. So for each tenant, we have a partitioned, separately encrypted queue where we have all of the events that happen in your within your organization. We put it into our own database. We have our own first-party applications and reporting and dashboard and intelligence platform on top of that. But we also have this API that comes out from that queue that lives in the cloud. And then we have a whole bunch of different content types and streams that connect out to our partners. There's some Microsoft products that sit on top of this API. There are also a slew of partners and third-party apps that exist. So just to give you a sense of what we have, there are over 4,000 different events that are already inside of the API that you get access to. We have a billion events coming in every day across the service, and that number is just still skyrocketing. So it's a huge at-scale system. And right now, we have 300 third-party apps that are connecting to the API, 2 terabytes of data every month. And just to give you a sense, these are just some of our biggest ones. A whole bunch of these people from the different products are in the room right now. If you want to stand up and wave, you can find, OK. 9 a.m. is tougher. But really what we're here for is looking at what Microsoft IT did. So I mentioned the API, we have a whole bunch of partners that are integrated into their own SIEM and CASB solutions that you have already deployed. But the star of the show here is Olaf, who's going to talk about what Microsoft IT built on their own to get amazing, amazing dashboards and insight out of the API. So without further ado, Olaf.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
So my name is Olaf. I'm with information security at Microsoft. I work as a senior data scientist. And what we'll talk about here today is how we are using this API. And what we had was a need to share externally and a need to audit that sharing, because our current process a few years back was using an extranet with sharing where individuals would be given an account and were able to log in. The business process was so slow that we had a slew of Dropbox users just coming onto the network. And we saw that we needed to have this capability of sharing externally, but without auditing, that was not going to happen. So we worked with the product team to find ways to ingest this audit data. So our policies are that information must be classified. What you see on the screen is HBI, which is high business impact information, MBI, moderate business impact, and low business impact. So regulated information, such as social security numbers, passport, financial information, healthcare information, and so on, is considered HBI, along with trade secrets, etc. So being able to understand the classification of the data and the underlying sharing of that data and use of that data is very important to us. We also found that some users, not all users, but some users, about 23%, share too much. And many of you probably have someone that you know or a child that you know that is sharing way too much on Facebook. Well, that happens on SharePoint as well. So I see it resonates. And this has to do with human nature. So I said I'm a data scientist, but I have a background in clinical psychology in addition to computer science. And we have studied this problem for quite a while at Microsoft, because you can't change human nature. I mean, we would love to, but we can't. So we have to acknowledge that there is going to be a part of the population that share too much. Then how do we address that? Well, that's then the key. So in order to understand why, has then enabled us to understand how we can address the issue. So this oversharing is sometimes causing us problems. And what ends up happening on SharePoint is overly permissive ACLs. So this is the other issue. We have about 160,000 users on SharePoint Online, and of these 160,000 users, no users understand how many that really is. People have a concept of up to 150 people, but anything beyond that, that's just a lot of people. But what people don't realize is that if they set everything quite open, 160,000 people have access to your information, and that may not be what they intended. So helping users making the right decision is key to us. And in order to do that, we have to understand how they make these decisions. So how do we detect inappropriate sharing? Well, the Activity API, we are collecting from the API from Daniel about 35 to 40 million events on a daily basis. If you go in and look at the actual raw data, and I guess you'll have to be a little propeller like myself to actually do that, but if you do, you'll start realizing that people's behavior is actually captured microsecond by microsecond. You can see the Word document as it gets created, uploaded, etc., whom it's shared with. You can see how it goes from colleague to colleague and then up to a boss, for example. There's a whole set of data here that makes it becoming the quantified self, just starting to look at this data. So what it allows us to do is to see who shares what data, when, and also how. And we get to know where it's shared in the world, we get to know whom it's shared with, and that has helped us gain business insights that has truly reduced our risk significantly, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The key issue, though, is that if individuals overshare regulated information, you're in trouble. Or if they overshare IP or trade secret, you're in trouble. And this is our issue as well. And now DLP is really good at finding regulated data, not always as good at finding IP. So again, this is where the Activity API can help you make some of these inferences. Now, the other issue is we also have some users that create business processes. And then to make this business process useful for others as they implement it, they may embed a username and password into the business process document. So we actually have found that this was a big problem for us. People uploaded documents onto SharePoint that contained usernames and passwords. Well, that's not a good thing. And it's especially not a good thing if it's shared with 160,000 people. That is no longer a secret. So the key thing about this behavior, we would not have been able to understand all of this if we hadn't had this capability of using machine learning to identify these kinds of issues and identify how this is occurring. So we're actually able to identify this and remediate it. So big data and data science. So as I said, we import about 25 to 30 million records daily. It's increasing as we speak. Now, I see we have a problem here. We do not have 43% classified as HBI. We have 4.3% classified as high business. So there's a typo here in this deck. So more than 90% is not as concerning to us. The most concerning data, the 4.3%, is what we really care about. Now, here's where we are using the Activity API plus our labeling. We are now able to extract what's happening to the highly sensitive data rather than having to worry about every document that's on SharePoint. So having this understanding of what is high business impact, where it's at, and who's using it is what enables this type of analytics. Now, what we also did analyze, we analyzed 11 million sharing or 11 million classification decisions, and of those, only 2.3% ever revisit their classification decision, and that's usually because we prompt them. We have a process in place that looks at whether they have a proper classification or not, and if not, then we request that they fix the classification issue. If they don't, they get 3 notifications. If they don't fix it by then, we actually remove their access. We take away their SharePoint sites. But the key thing is, people do not go back and look at their decisions after they make it. And the implications for you is that whatever they have made as a decision for that site, for that document, stays for the remainder of the time as long as that site or document is up. So this is also how you get drift over time. Someone thinks that, well, this isn't so very sensitive, so we'll just have an open access on it. And then over time, sensitive information gets added to it. If you don't have a process of capturing that, then it will stay open for the remainder of the time. Now, as you can see, we also request that our users review and remove access for external users. Again, when we look at the data, people don't do it. So we are also looking at, should we change our policy in this space? Should we look at forcing users to actually add these users back, these external users back in, rather than just having them confirm that they should be there? Because as we can see, unless you're prompted to do an action, inaction is what we see. So this is human nature. If you don't have to worry about it, you're not going to worry about it, unless you're an anxious person, that is. Most people aren't. Now, we did identify this issue on high business impact information being shared externally, and because of that, we did apply a new policy which reduced our improper sharing by 100% and actually reduced the overall sharing by 80%. So how do we get there? If you take an Activity API, you get that 20 to 30 million events on a daily basis. Well, that's too much for a human to read. But what it allows us to do is to do statistical analysis on it using machine learning, using statistical software such as R, if you're familiar with Microsoft's R server, for example. So you can build graphs of how people share and whom they share with. So we do this analysis. We have done it on HBI. We built our models there. We also done it on MBI and built models there. We don't care about low business impact, so there's no point in building a model for that. But the key thing is, the Activity API is big data for us. It's not huge. We have another data source where we collect about 7 billion events on a daily basis, which is on our Windows devices and servers. But the key thing is, that's machine-generated events. A lot of that is noise. In SharePoint Online Activity API, except for one node, which is noisy, everything here is an actual behavior by a user. And that's another key thing to take away as well, is that just because you have a lot of data doesn't mean that it's good data. Understanding the data and understanding how to extract the value out of the data is the key. And what I want you to take home is that graph analysis, statistical analysis on the behavior has allowed us to identify anomalous behaviors such as exfiltrating data, and that's probably one of your key concerns, and also where people are improperly sharing too much, which is also a concern for us. Because what we have found is that in some instances, someone shares too much, a third person who's not really part of this space is gaining access because it's too broad of an access control on the site, and then takes the data. So the key thing is, it is a medium-sized data, but it's big data, but it's a lot of valuable data. And I was talking to a large oil company, I'm not going to mention any names, but their chief information officer, he asked me, well, so you're doing all this for security, what about productivity? And that's the flip side of this data. This data has a lot of value from a productivity perspective, not just from a security perspective. You think about how you can understand utilization, increase productivity, see if any of your awareness campaigns and so on is landing. This data will tell you. So we're also collaborating with our team internally, it's called the DISCO, the Discovering Collaboration Team, so that they can also extract insights from this data. But again, just to reiterate, this graph analysis allowed us to identify more than 3,000 sites that were externally shared inappropriately. We had a new process put in place. Only 700 are now sharing externally. They all have a policy exception with a valid business justification. So that's number one. How many of you have a view into what's shared on Dropbox or on the consumer sharing sites? Absolutely none. And so did we. We had no idea what was being shared. So the key thing about external sharing on SharePoint is at least they're sharing on your platform, not on someone else's platform. And two, you can work with your users. So it's not that we deny, we allow users to do it. We help them find the right way to do it. So, unfortunately, we have two-factor authentication applied, so I won't be able to show the Power BI dashboard that we have. But we have built a set of dashboards for our senior executives so they can see what trends we have, how many sites we have, and what the trends are, going up, going down, etc. So, I think we'll try one more time. Oh, okay, never mind. But I will talk a little bit about the solution architecture. If you look all the way to the governance solution, so you guys see the mirror of what I see. So we have a governance solution that we built internally in IT, and this code is available on GitHub. So if you want to have a classification scheme and a governance solution on this on your site, you can do this. So we take the data from the auto sites. This is where we understand who the site owners are. It's how we understand what the classification is. We also understand the compliance of that site. So we have a requirement of minimum two admins, two owners, because people move jobs, people leave. and we don't want orphan sites. We also want to have the proper classification on it and so on. And we actually put a banner on the site if it's not compliant, so everyone that goes to that site gets to see that people are non-compliant. So we try to shame people into doing the right thing if they're not. But if shaming doesn't work, after 3 notifications, you lose the site. So this data goes into an Azure Data Factory process. We also take the DLP data, which we're also extracting out of SharePoint or out of Office 365 Online. It contains Exchange DLP data and SharePoint Online DLP data. And we pull that out through PowerShell. And that gets into an Azure VM. Now that's all changing, and we are starting to move away from VMs and using Azure Data Lake. When this was first architected, Azure Data Lake was not general availability, so we couldn't architect using that. We are now using Data Lake rather than blob storage, but we're in a transition period. So we get the Exchange data. We get the audit data from Exchange, SharePoint, and AAD. And again, we pull that in as blobs and have it in Azure Blob Storage. We also push this data into HD Insight. And this is a repository where we have data from all our Windows events. So we're actually correlating data from SharePoint Online and AAD and Exchange with what's happening on the individual's machines as well as our servers. And this allows us to have a rapid incident response should there be any issues. So now this HD Insight instance will probably at some point in the future also be transformed into Azure Data Lake. Now, in order to do our statistical analysis, you have a couple of choices. We use R, that's what our team has chosen to use. You could just as easily use Python. Or in Azure Machine Learning, you can literally build models by drag and drop. So there's many ways to build the analysis for your security analytics, as well as operational analytics. Now, you can use R within Azure Machine Learning as well. So I don't know how familiar you are with big data and machine learning. The key thing here is that there's a full stack from Microsoft available to do some really, really in-depth analytics. And with SQL Server 2016, R is built in. So if you have data in SQL Server that you want to do analysis on, you can do that with R. And we extract data from HD Insight, which is Hadoop, as well as outside of Data Lake, or from the Data Lake into SQL Server, and then do analysis there, or we do analysis on top of the raw data. The problem with doing analysis on top of the raw data for our billions of events is that it takes a long time. So there's all trade-offs that you have to consider. So the final part about this architecture is what you can see on the bottom. We are able to take all of these events and generate information into a dashboard that allows our business to make a decision. So the best example is, of course, the decision to change our policy to address the oversharing that we saw. It also allows us to have a conversation with the service owner in regards to what we need to see in the platform itself. So when you look at the governance solution that we built, that's based on that conversation back and forth. And I will say that that is really the key. We collaborate very closely with the service provider inside of IT that is responsible for the content delivery and the management of our cloud services. Without that collaboration, we would not be as successful as we are today. We would not be where we're at today.
I pulled up the screenshots if you want to go through some
Yes.
screenshots.
Okay. So, because we weren't able to do the demo, we'll do some screenshots so you can see some of the data. So this is data that we collect on a daily basis. What you see here is 384,000 SharePoint sites. That's actually now closer to 433,000. So we have a tremendous amount of SharePoint sites. So a manual review of 500,000 sites is just never going to happen. As you can see on the next one, 164,000, close to it, 163 and something, requested the capability of sharing externally. Yet if you look at the number below, only 24,000 are actually sharing. So this is another thing we need to look at. People request more than what they use. That tells me they request more than they need. So keep that in mind as well. So when you manage your SharePoint Online, think about what capabilities people think they need compared to the capabilities they actually need. And the best example here is this difference between what they requested and what they're actually using. So if they requested it and they don't use it, they probably should lose it. Now, if you look further down, we have about 84,000 external users that has access to our content. Most of that is low business impact, and that is quite appropriate. We also have now public information available so that our product teams, marketing arms, and so on can actually publish onto this content portal with public information. And that's perfect, right? So one of the key things we also had to address with this external sharing was we had to extend our classification to also include public. So now we have a capability to allow users to share externally public information on SharePoint Online, which is appropriate. So if we scroll down a little bit, oh, yes, this one right here. That one, yes. One of the things here, too, you can see is how sharing occurs in your space. OneDrive for Business versus SharePoint. So as you can see, most of the activity is actually on SharePoint. You can also see how many, the ratio of files that are fetched versus synced. So as you can see, syncing is quite often. And you can see file uploaded and file checked in and file renamed are very, very few indeed. So most of it is file viewing and then file fetching. But again, it's kind of a business insight that would not have been able to available to us without this Activity API. So if we scroll down a little bit,
we show this.
Yes. So now you can see how OneDrive for Business and SharePoint sharing is actually going on in our environment. So OneDrive for Business is clearly where most external sharing is happening, whereas SharePoint, there's less. So again, you can see there's more sharing on SharePoint, but less external sharing. And here's our DLP dashboard. What it allows us to do is to see how many documents are being captured, how many of them are in SharePoint Online versus OneDrive for Business. As you can see, most of them are inappropriately stored in a OneDrive for Business rather than on SharePoint where they're supposed to be. And as you can see, when a user violates, they usually violate more than one time at a time. The key thing here is this kind of drill through and drill down was not possible without joining these data sets and without having that audit data. So not only do we know what user, what document, but we can also see all of the sharing, and we can also see what the sharing of that user is. Are they oversharing their data? Do we need to take additional steps?
Do you want to just answer? Yeah. Okay, should we sit back here?
So the key thing is, healthy collaboration is what you want. It's what drives productivity, it's what drives profit. So we do enable that through site classification and labeling, through signaling, telling users what they can and can't do, and we give them a visual cue if they are not compliant. And we provide training programs so that users know how to apply rights management services if it's regulated data and it must be encrypted, how to properly set their ACLs, and what proper sharing looks like, and to provide us with a valid business justification if they need to share highly sensitive business information outside the company. So, reducing security risks, the product design is improved. Really appreciative of what the product team has done for us. This API is a wonderful capability that we didn't have in the past. As you have heard me say, HBI documents, much reduction in that sharing, 80%. And our executives make informed decisions, changes to policy, et cetera. And the data securities are based on actual data. So it's no longer what I think as a security professional, it's what the data tells us. So we are now a data-driven security organization that looks at data and data intelligence products rather than being in the former way where we would say, this is not good because we think it's not good. Now we can say, this is not good because here's the numbers. Or sometimes our assumptions are proven wrong too. And that's okay too. So, analytics, policy, and behavior, because we're now data-driven, allows us to have analytics inform policy, policy informs behavior, and then behavior informs analytics. So in other words, it is now an iterative cycle. We notice a problem or we notice an opportunity, we address it, we can then immediately see if we're successful in addressing the issue.
So we, just to make everybody, where you can go from this, we have some links up here for getting started with the API. We've also have the case study itself that we just walked through is published as well, and we're working with legal to actually publish the source code for this project as well, so that you could actually take it and apply it to your own organization to get the same types of dashboards. In terms of where we're moving next on the API, Yammer, Skype for Business, SharePoint on-premises data, not just SharePoint online, but actually pushing up so you have all of your SharePoint audit data in one place. Sway is also coming on board. So that's where we're moving to get out to fan out to all the Office 365 workloads. There are some related sessions. Some of them even actually haven't happened yet. This is what happens on Thursday. But there are a couple. I'll be speaking next door in about an hour about how we're applying the intelligence within Office 365 and the alerts and insights that you can get from that. And there's also advanced security management later today. And then with that, we've got 5 minutes. If there are any questions, for about the API and roadmap, about the solution from MSIT. We'd love to hear them and help you out.
Yes, sir.
So I think using an activity API to generate dashboards that show activity over time is great. Sometimes those dashboards, you want to slice them through system state data. So the example was, does this site have any external sharing or not? It's sort of a binary state, right? So where are you getting your data source to make those system state characteristics so that you can sort of categorize your, because you're not going to get it from activity data.
So that's the analytics that we do. So we take the raw data from the API, and then we have the ETL process and the analytics process that builds on top of the raw data from the API that allows us to get those pivots.
And so you're maintaining system state of a sort of discerned system state in some other repository?
At a metadata level.
Okay. All right. We'll talk offline. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, yes, sir.
So if my CISO comes to me and says, hey, look, I want to move all our stuff to Sherpa online, but I'm really concerned about, all right, I trust Microsoft to make my data safe.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm concerned about getting to the data safely in there and getting the data safely out. What do I do to complement what they're doing? This looks like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So when I've spoken to large enterprise customers, they have exactly your view on it, which is this allows for that additional insight. What I would recommend is tie it with other data sources as well. As you saw in our architecture diagram, we tie it into data that we have in ArcSight or the data that we get from our devices. The key thing is attacks and malicious insider threats and so on are fairly complex. So one data source is not enough, but tying them together is not possible and what we do. So this SharePoint data is not only used for the policy information, but also used for day-to-day investigations into possible leaks and so on. So from a perspective of the CISO, our CISO, my CISO, he didn't want external sharing. He was very, very much against it. But then when we looked at the numbers of Dropbox sharing where we had no information, then we came to this agreement that with the auditing and doing the proper analytics on top of it, we actually mitigated more with allowing it than not allowing it. So we're more secure now in SharePoint Online than we were on SharePoint on-premise.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll be sticking around. So just to repeat the question, there was in a session yesterday, somebody showed in SharePoint the ability to have a simple link that gives anybody access to a document. On that page where you do that, there also are other options for a company link that only works best for anybody in your company and also to specify individuals. So there's that demo used the anonymous link for everybody. You can also choose those other levels. And then in the audit data, we actually audit not only when you create or modify or remove one of those anonymous links, we also audit all access using the anonymous link. So you can not just see that, oh, somebody shared it externally, you can also say, and then somebody used that link to view it, to download it, to modify it. So the options are there. You can, yes, you can turn on which types of sharing you allow in your organization. Yep.
And I think it's a great question, and this is where you also want to think about labeling. You clearly don't want anonymous sharing of high business impact information, right?
Right. Okay. Thanks very much. Have a great day.